Well, we took pictures. If you were to get up at 4 a.m. and look towards the sun, this is what you'd see. We tried to take pictures of our wondrous blue orb, the Earth, from our landing site, and we were frustrated every time, about a dozen times, because of these wispy clouds. If you think about it, we actually had a telescope sitting on the surface of Mars for about 90 days. Now, it wasn't a very good one, but we could take pictures of astronomical objects. Here's one. This is the larger of the two potato-shaped moons around Mars called Phobos. There are six active pixels on this. This is point spread function of the camera, but look at that. We got it. We also took pictures of standard SARs to ascertain the character of the dust in the atmosphere. We also got Phobos. That was even tougher, or Deimos. Only three active pixels here, and we were able to get spectra of these objects and determine that they're much more like very red asteroids, type D or G, and thus indicating a more weathered protolith than was expected before. Now, these clouds were everywhere. Every time we woke up at 4 a.m. and looked, there was the white, wispy clouds that went across the atmosphere. In some cases, they actually got thick enough to form this blue haze, and our interpretation of this is that these are water ice crystals that have frozen around the background dust in the atmosphere. By 10 a.m., all of this ice has sublimed away and is no longer there as the temperature warmed up. We measured the temperature from entry of the atmosphere at 130 kilometers all the way down to the surface. Temperature is just off the bottom here. You can see Pathfinder is quite a bit colder above 60 kilometers than Viking. That is consistent with Pathfinder entering the atmosphere at 3 a.m. local time versus Viking, which entered at 4 p.m. local time. Below 60 kilometers, the atmosphere is pretty similar, indicative of a dusty lower atmosphere, and there may even be an inversion at the bottom where those water ice clouds froze out. The pressure on the surface of Mars, shown here in red as Pathfinder, the barometric minimum reached at about Sol 22 after landing. The significance of that is that the atmosphere has as low a density as ever at that point, a lowest pressure, and that indicates that, in fact, most of the CO2 is cold trapped at the pole, and we're now, most of that CO2 is frozen at the pole, and the atmosphere is as thin as it ever gets. And subsequent to that, of course, the atmosphere starts sublimating from that pole and goes back into the atmosphere, making it thicker. Temperature on the surface of Mars for one diurnal cycle, 200 degrees K, that's minus 40 or 60 C, up to 260, about freezing, 60 degree C temperature change, day-night cycle on the surface of Mars. And if you happen to be standing there in the morning, you'd see another 10 to 20 degrees of temperature change 1 minute to the next. Yowie, how do you dress on Mars? In addition, your feet are a full 15 degrees colder than your nose. Or your feet are warmer than your nose. So I don't know, you put a muffler and you have sandals down below. How do you do this? We imagine a very cold atmosphere that's being warmed by the surface, and eddies of material are convecting upward, producing a very unstable atmosphere, completely like anything here on the Earth. We also believe we have measured dust devils. These are like twisters, so you can imagine the movie Twister without the cows in it. And that's pretty close here. It's a reverse motion of air with a warm central core. And so sitting on the surface, you'd see wind peak in one direction, followed by a barometric minimum in the middle, followed by wind peaking in another direction. And we caught this guy red-handed. Here it is, the barometric minimum in the middle in black, wind peaking on one side in blue, and wind, which is low on the other side, then peaking in the opposite direction as it went past. Roughly 3 months after the mission ended, a very industrious graduate student, completely unassociated with the project team, scoured through the images on the internet, and lo and behold, catched it red-handed. Here's the dust devil, 10 meters, 20 meters, 40 meters across at the base, up to 100 meters high, and you can see it's moving downhill from our reference point in this from C, B to A. The importance of this is that it's very difficult, given the dynamic pressure of the atmosphere on Mars, to raise dust into the atmosphere. Once you get it into the atmosphere, it's easy to keep it there, but it's tough to get it there. And thus, these dust devils may be an important mechanism for producing this background haze of red dust in the atmosphere on Mars. Pathfinder lasted for about 3 months on the surface of Mars. That was about 3 months longer than we expected. Thanks for the lights. The rover lasted about 12 times longer than was initially designed for. We returned about 2.3 billion bits of new information about Mars, and I've given you a summation of what I think is some of the most important results. That is that the early environment on Mars may have been warmer and wetter, and thus more conducive to the formation of life than what we see today. Of course, nowhere on the surface of Mars is liquid water stable right now, and the prospects for finding life on the surface now are quite remote indeed. We're actually even below the triple point of water. Now, think about that, a warm early Mars, and yet I showed you a landing site that looked almost no different from when it was deposited by this catastrophic flood. Well, that landing site, based on the number of craters that we see, dates back from 3.5 to 1.8 billion years ago. Sorry, we can't do any better than that because of the crater time scale. But still, it suggests that that location has been sitting there effectively unchanged for billions of years. That indicates a dry, desiccating environment with no liquid water whatsoever. So that argues a major climatic change somewhere in the interim. Somehow you changed the climate. How did you do that? We don't know, but that's certainly the focus of additional study. What's in the future is a rather robust Mars exploration program now that Pathfinder has died. We think that after about 3 months on the surface, that the thermal exchange, the thermal extremes of the atmosphere, that 60 degrees temperature change, actually set up thermal stresses within the lander that broke a solder joint and actually broke the lander. So it was dysfunctional. We are looking forward to a series of landers that will go to Mars every 26 months, which is roughly as frequently as you can send spacecraft to Mars. In the near future, in December, will be an orbiter that will have an atmospheric sounder to look at the atmosphere. In January of next year, just 4 months away, will be a lander that will go to the South Polar Layered Deposit. In images, this looks like bright white ice and dirty red ice, and has been interpreted as being evidence for short-term climate change on Mars. And the goal of this mission is to go down, scrape some of this ice, if it is, and soil, measure its composition, and try to understand whether that is in fact the case. 01, 03 are more larger landers with larger rovers to go out further, and we're hoping for a sample return from Mars, the first of many, which would be launched in 2005. Those samples would be returned to Earth in 2008, and interestingly enough, the current scenario has those samples landing in the southern hemisphere, and one likely place is, in fact, Lake Eyre in central Australia, so you all can debate whether you would like to have Mars samples land here. Those would come back in 2008 and be the first of what I would hope would be a large series of such missions that would really focus on this question. Did life start on Mars? Was the environment, in fact, warmer and wetter? If it did, what happened to it? If not, why not? Thanks very much.